Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Roleplay Swan Song. I'm JP McDaniel. Once again, I have no idea what week it is. What week is this? I know we're in the 30s on this one.
My notes just say episode 3X question mark.
I know we're in the 30s.
Yeah, it's like mid to late 30s.
It's like 35, 36, I think.
37.
It's like
38. It's 37. Why does my mic sound
low? Like I said, 37.
Man, getting sick is really weird for like monitoring audio levels because everything just sounds fucked up to you.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I know exactly what you mean. It really bothers me.
Yeah. Exactly. Jeff, you just got past, Jesus Christ. Just got back from BlizzCon. You've been, I think, streaming Legacy of the Void nonstop, right?
Yes. Basically, yes.
How's the next chapter of StarCraft? How's that working out?
Well, I just finished the single player, and I'm two missions into the epilogue. Oh, of course.
Okay.
I say this as a guy that was just on stage standing behind the guy that's the director of all stories for Blizzard.
Yeah.
And I mean this in honesty. It's a great game. It's an absolute shit story. Horrible story.
Wow.
And to really realize how bad the story is, you have to get into the epilogue where it gets beyond shit. It's like a cornucopia of shit. It's like an entire city's waste dump of shit just fell all over the place.
A shit storm.
Yeah. It's like the amount of shit that Montreal is dumping into the river today.
There's a shit storm.
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard you guys were just throwing in like 30 billion tons or some shit.
So apparently, like, compared to the flow rate of the river, it's not very much. And therefore, people are like, it should be fine. The river has way more than the capability to deal with it. But still.
That'd be like if I came into your house and took a shit on your floor and I'm like, yeah, but compared to the square footage.
Yes.
Like,
yes. It's kind of like
that much.
There was a huge outrage about it, but in the end, the mayor has his way. So
there you go. So yeah, it's not so good, Jeff.
Nice.
Yeah, Jeff, when I was hanging out in your chat for a little while, just a little bit of the story that I heard, I was like,
because I really want to play it.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's an RTS, so, like, honestly, not the best mode for storytelling, of course.
Yeah.
And but don't let that take away from, you know, like, if people are going to try the game, they're going to enjoy it. It's really fun single player.
Yeah.
The game itself is really refined. So I'm very happy with it. But what's really cool, too, is Blizzard's starting to do really cool initiatives where they're really promoting and helping out people that are Blizzard people, which is long overdue and really awesome. So I've been giving out hats, hoodies, plushies, pylon things, collector's editions. There's 100 keys. There's Legacy Void.
Hey, you had a ton of giveaways.
A ton, and I'm not alone. There's 9 other people that gave they gave all this stuff too, and they're just flooding people with free shit.
That's good.
And we're not allowed to do things like, you know, for 10 more subs, I'll do that. It's just literally sit in there, you get free stuff. So
nice.
I love hearing it. I love being a part of that, but I love that they're doing that kind of stuff. I think that's amazing.
It's good to hear.
Yeah. BlizzCon itself was really fun. We got lucky with the finals, and it was really good.
Finals were... I was actually watching... Yeah. I was in the Hilton restaurant watching on my phone. I was like, I don't know why I just don't walk over there. I watched, like, the last 4 games of that. Because it went the full 7 games, spoilers. But, yeah, it was good.
Well, us not having a mirror matchup finals, Rogue would have been really boring because it's like, who knows who the fuck Rogue is and who cares, but
yeah,
it was SOS, it was Life, it was like probably the 2 of the more epic people of the whole year. Yeah. It was really fun, but 9 days of working. I was just telling the guys, like, it's really weird. Usually when I say I'm tired, it's like I'm jet lagged for a day or two, then I'm completely fine. But yeah. I'm actually, like, so emotionally, physically, and mentally wiped that yesterday I was like, hour 4, I was realizing my stream consisted of me just being like this, and I was like, oh, yeah. God, I'm sorry, guys. I realize this is really boring.
Yeah,
yeah. I was only at BlizzCon since Wednesday to Sunday. Yeah. I got real sick. I streamed 12 hours on Monday and 6 yesterday, and today I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit in my fucking room and get
good
better.
Good for you. So, you deserve it.
Yep.
So, you ever think about how weird it is that getting sick from a con is because you waded through a mass of humanity and someone, some bastard out there, whether they knew it or not.
I know who. I know 3 people that were sick, too, that I was in very close proximity with. And they're probably ones that got me sick. So fuck those guys. But yeah.
It's just crazy to think about. But it was really, really fun. And I'm actually, it's just crazy what being busy time travel does. Like, it's already kind of, it's almost halfway through November, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
Like, Weird. It's starting to get cold here in San Francisco, so I'm enjoying it. I actually really like season change in California. This is as close as we get to it. It's like, oh man, it's a blustery 65 degrees. Jesus Christ.
Don't talk to me.
How do people live in this? I know.
How cold is it in Montreal already?
It's like 40. It's 40 or so.
That's not even that bad.
In American terms. It's not that bad, but it's the warning.
Yeah, no, you're going to have
a warning shot across the bow.
Yeah.
January and February
are going to suck.
Facebook has that new thing where you're like interested in events. And it just showed me an event where like the downtown Place des Arts, the artsy area of downtown Montreal, they always do like a light sort of sculpture garden built out of lights. It's awesome. But they're doing like they have the inaugural lighting of the sculpture garden every year. And I saw someone like, okay, I'm interested in this. I want to go to it. And the picture that they have for it is like the light garden just covered in snow. And it's just like, okay, the lights are going to turn on soon, and then it's just all going to get completely blanketed and white, and then I'm not going to see the sun until April.
Nice.
Shit.
There you go.
Yeah, BlizzCon's awesome. Just get to see all my friends and meet new ones, and working BlizzCon was cool because I got to, again, kind of cap off the esports year with working with all the guys that I've worked with all year, and really happy and excited, and now I just get to sit back, play some Fallout, play some Overwatch, play Legacy of the Void, wait for Star Wars to hit me in the teeth.
And there's a lot of good games.
Yeah, it's amazing. This is a great time of year. It's the best.
I would say the best as well. I'd say the best as well. We talked to you on Monday, but I know you played Fallout since then because I was playing alongside you in secret off stream last night for about an hour.
I appreciate that. We weren't alone.
What did you think of the game? Because for me, it was mostly you were just actually playing the radio in-game, so I turned mine off and just listened to your radio on stream.
Yeah, I love the radio. That's like one of my favorite things about Fallout. So I obviously have some gripes, but I also have some happy things. Like, I changed all the necessary settings to like make the game bearable on PC.
I stole that from your stream as well. Thanks for that.
But I found out that by default that thing fucking limits frame rate. And last night I was like, something is not right. And I found the setting that you change, and it's unlocked now, and it's 60 FPS, and it's amazing or more. Who knows? I don't have anything to like look, but I should.
You know that the weird thing about that game is the higher the FPS, the faster the game plays. Like, it's tied to motion in that sense. So like, I get 144 FPS and pretty much anything that's inside. So my game is playing at like light speed. Like, everything I do is multiplied by almost two of the normal speed of the game.
That's why you gotta take that jet all day every day. Yeah. It'll slow that game right down. You get addicted as fuck. It'll be a great time.
But it also causes a lot of issues because, like, sometime I'll go up to the armor in the game, whatever the fuck it's called. That's not the proper term.
Power suit.
The power suit, yeah. I'll go up and, like, try to get into it, but the animation is so fast that it basically teleports me through it, and sometimes I'll just get stuck on the other side, and the only way I can get through is by no clipping through the actual armor and letting me get into it, because otherwise
that's
it just like bugs out.
Actually hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, Bethesda, call me, because seriously.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I think the height of first world problems has to be my computer plays the game so damn well.
Yeah.
When I stream it to thousands of people, it glitches out.
Dude, I feel bad too, because I'll walk up to a terminal, and when you like go in and like lean into a terminal, for whatever reason, if you have like 144 FPS, like hertz on your monitor locked in, it's fluid at 144. The terminal actually, when you come out, it bugs out and you can't do any key inputs.
Yeah.
So you actually have to like hard load the game or just Alt F4 and get back in.
Okay, so here's another major gripe of the game. So first off, the crafting is like somewhat overwhelming to begin with.
Oh yeah.
But then when you actually start like salvaging stuff, you have to like pick up the item, hit R,
and
then hit enter to confirm.
Yeah.
That means that I have to
the
like,
key input is really weird.
Either move one hand off.
There's a fix. They don't tell you this. E and enter are the same key. So if you salvage, you hit R. Oh, wow. I know, that's the face.
I didn't know that either.
R-E-R-E, oh my.
You just R-E-R-E-R-E when you walk around town like salvage.
I've been using my mouse hand to hit enter.
I know, I had to do the click too.
I thought that that wasn't even a thing because I'm pretty sure I fucking was banging my face on the keyboard going like, why did they make this so fucking hard? Okay. I will try that tonight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
at Bethesda, all the other bad shit we said, it's still true. Call Steven. All right.
As someone that didn't hear you talk about it, though, and I haven't played it, no spoilers, but I'm seeing some people say they don't enjoy it, but it's still a good game, right? Like,
I still enjoy it. It seems really solid.
It's exactly the atmosphere I want.
I'm finding it a little weird because, and I guess this is what happens when you make as so many games, but like, it doesn't feel as like Fallout-y as New Vegas did. It feels more like 3, and then it feels like the team took, and that's like, that's okay, but my Fallout for me is like Fallout 2. That's kind of the core, like, it's a little sillier and like a little more satirical. This one feels a little more like somber, and it might be that there's fucking fog everywhere all the time, but it doesn't feel quite as like, as sort of like the way that Fallout 2 and New Vegas were, which is cool if you like the kind of more serious Fallout.
I have a question.
But
do you know how long you were out or in the vault before both of those games?
What do you mean?
Do you remember? Right? Because it's like, sorry.
This,
it's like,
I think,
you know.
You mean like how long it takes you to get
out? It's like a Matrix question, guys.
Yeah, like in Fallout 2, how long were you in the vault and Fallout New
Vegas?
Well,
in Fallout 2, you're never in the vault. You're a tribal.
In Fallout 1,
he was testing you, motherfucker. It's a trick question, all right?
I'm not. It wasn't. It was wrong.
In Fallout 1, it's like a good 45 minutes.
No.
New Vegas, you're not a vault dweller either, right?
God damn it. What I'm trying to ask is like, in this one you're in, you're out, it's been 300 years.
Yeah.
I'm asking in the other ones by context.
Oh, they all start kind of like modern day. They start in context, right? You're not like, you don't spend any time in the vault. It's like you're the wasteland, the lone wanderer or whatever. In the first one you come out of a vault. The second one, you're a tribal dude who's like a descendant of the character from the first one. 3, there's some vault time, which is maybe why the beginning of this game feels like that too. And then New Vegas, you're just a guy, like out in the
wilderness. Okay, great. I got it. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, 200. My bad. Whatever.
I think it's 210.
Whatever. It was,
what
that was like the
say,
anti-spoiler,
says.
All you assholes in chat who are correcting me. See, like, someone's like, oh, that 300, that's a long time. But then like, oh, 200, that's better. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to chat on Monday about this because, well, hopefully my mic sounds better. But there's a show that I think all of you would really enjoy. And when I came, it's not America's Next Top Model, but Tyra Banks, I love you.
Yeah.
Because I love it when you smile with your eyes, Jeff. It's
smiles. Yeah,
smiles, for sure. You and me, dude, we're on the same level. All right. Anyway, you knew. What's up? It's called Moonbeam City.
Okay. Yeah, it looks cool. It's a cartoon.
No, Jeff.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it looks cool.
It is a cartoon.
It is. It's fucking hilarious.
Well, it's a Comedy Central show.
Fantastic. It is so, it almost has a little bit of like,
Do you think you like it though? Because the era that it takes part in is when you were in college. Do you think that's why you like it?
I like it because the 80s?
God,
it was way out of college.
Super
in the
serious
80s.
Mode right now.
So hold on. So this show
I'm passionate about the show. It's fucking amazing.
Set in 1750s America.
Yeah. But a different alternate time.
When a young DJ Wheat was embarking on his first professional steps.
It's fantastic.
It's when he used to stand on the street corner yelling about ye old video games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? You know
that
what?
Was Wheat's foray into streaming.
I should
back
know.
In 1750s.
You there, child! Have you played the video games?
I don't have.
Come over here, I will tell of you my opinion.
Have you played a spasmodic, not far-seeing?
I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize. You know, I was. I've been firing through the Naruto volumes,
Naritos.
And there was a series of panels in which Jiraiya was talking about what was happening with Naruto, and in it all of his students are actually making fun of him for being old, and he had like the best speech about it that I actually screenshotted the page, and I'm just gonna post and put all you guys on Twitter and be like,
"You forgot where I had all these students."
Herbie Sage Jiraiya says this about growing old.
If only I could find that darn article that I copy-pasted somewhere in my computer program.
See, listen, someday, 30 or 40 years from now, when I'm Wheat's age, I'm really going to sympathize with what he's saying.
Hang on, rapscallions, when I find this
I'm
article.
The wise one, and you guys are all fucking idiots. And then you're going to be like, oh, man, dude.
The thing is, this kind of thing is funny because it's so subjective. Like, there's you always get to be one of the people in that situation where you're either like, you're so old, and then you're like some fucking 16-year-old on your stream is like, I wasn't even born when you were in university. Yep. And you're like,
You got to understand. For me, it's even more confusing because I come on here and Jeff's all like, "You're so fucking old, Pete." And then I like get done with the stream, and my wife is like, "God, you're such a child." And I'm like,
"Oh man, you just can't win."
Man, am I a fucking? What am I?
You just can't win.
Old man, child. I mean, I've like evolved.
That's living the life you want, man. That's what it's about.
My wife doesn't say that about me, but you know, she does have two kids and one.
Minnie does.
Yeah.
Minnie and Large Wheat.
So there you go. Yep, exactly.
All right, I'll check out Moonbeam City.
And report to you.
Probably watch that on the flight or on a flight upcoming. Anyways. Steven, what have you been up to? We haven't seen you for 2 weeks or so.
I think 2 weekends ago or something
that
like
was West
that.
March's,
we had our first beta weekend for Roller Coaster Tycoon World.
That's right. Yeah.
How'd that go?
It was a fruitful beta weekend in terms of the feedback we received.
You heard it here first,
really
Reddit.
I actually streamed for a couple hours and got like 800 people watching me. And there were like a bunch of people who are fans of other coaster builder games. And they were like, "You can't build this in your game." I'm like, "What? Yes, you can." And they were like, "No, you can't. Why are you ignoring us? Devs ignore us." And I'm like, no, hang on. What do you want me to build?" And they were
that
like,
"Shit is the best when people tell you what you can and can't do with the game you designed."
And they were like, "Build this coaster from real life." I'm like, "Okay." And I built it. And they were like, "Oh, that actually looks pretty good." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, so you couldn't figure out how to do what I just did. Well, that's a problem."
Wait. Do these people exist on the internet where they go around from roller coaster stream to roller coaster stream and challenge the people on what to make?
Yeah.
Just like there's guys on the internet that spend $2,000 on fucking giant Warhammer figures.
No,
that
not the same. Used
in
tournaments. Not the same.
Got him.
Jeff, just look over. The Titan's looking at you right now, man. Just connect eyes with them.
No, I love you for it.
He can't hear you right now.
Yeah, what's it doing in the kitchen? Are you feeding him a steak?
It watches me while I eat dinner. What's so weird about that?
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Sitting on the mantelpiece next to
his you have an extra chair there, and Anna's just like, "Jeff, we need to talk about..." No! Fuck you, Anna. He's staying at the dinner table.
Yeah. Why are there only three plates at the table?
Eats the happiness tears that I produce.
Oh, God.
There's a bunch of other really intense coaster building simulations. Like, there's one called No Limits, which is like, it's almost a professional caliber as far as I know. I've never actually messed with it, but I've seen videos. It's like a professional caliber coaster designer. And like, in this community, there are super hardcore people. Like, I got a Twitch message from a guy who plays all these games, and he literally works as a roller coaster engineer. Awesome. And he's like, "Hey, you should consider this about your coasters." I was like, "Holy shit, thank you very much." So we got really great feedback, and it's awesome. And now we have the unenviable position of trying to make it all happen in as quickly as possible. But I'm having a good time.
Sweet. I'm excited. I want to play your game.
I was looking at Black Friday deals that just got posted for Best Buy. I don't know why I get so excited about this shit.
I saw some company talking about just like canceling Black Friday this year and just being like,
yeah.
Nope, we're not going to do it anymore.
Well, really? Like Cards Against Humanity for Black Friday, they doubled the price of their game. Yeah, and they were like, yeah, double the price, fuck you. And like hundreds of people still bought it.
Yeah, they still bought it,
like,
of course.
Yeah, people weren't like, I'm going to wait until Saturday. They were like, oh, I just got to get it today. And it's like, yep. It's twice as expensive. Like, yeah. What the fuck?
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Cards Against Humanity is actually, did you see outside of PAX Prime where they were selling popsicles that had a Card Against Humanity inside of it?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Max and his team are such a bunch of geniuses Jeff, about that stuff.
You're very confused by this process. They took a popsicle and then took a small foil wrapper and wrapped around a card and then put the popsicle around
that. It was like a booster pack from Magic. Like,
yeah, it was a booster pack. So you eat the popsicle, and then inside you open up the foil, and then there's a booster pack for.
There were like all these sticky foil wrappers all over.
And they were packed all weekend long. There was always a line of like 20
of
people
course,
buying
because
them.
Because it only takes one guy or gal to eat one and then be like, dude, I totally ate this popsicle and there was a card inside.
Exactly.
And then they're like, oh, I got it. And they tell their friends That's how STD spread.
in typical Cards Against Humanity nature too, the like flavors were all really funny. Like I think one of them was like mango fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. They should have just made them all taste terrible. That would have been even better.
Yeah. 100%. You can have your Cards Against Humanity if you eat the poopsicle.
Yeah.
Honest discussion about Cards Against Humanity, a game that I really love, but I found that the more that you play it, the less.
Yeah. No, the more you know of the cards, it's like, I wish I had that card because it would work well with this.
Okay, so I played it so much that I literally hate it and love it at the same time because there's two kinds of people who play Cards Against Humanity. There's the people that you can trust to actually play the game where they're like, okay, that is the closest to answering that card. And then there's the ones where it's just like, and when Jimmy, fuck Black Jesus. And everyone's like, ah! It says something funny. I vote that one. And then I'm like, that's not the game. You just literally just throw the cards around.
I've never met a Cards Against Humanity purist.
This one says black penis. And this one says, you know, die in diarrhea while a midget shits on your head. And it's like, oh, that's really funny. Vote that one.
I thought the point was to play to the person who's choosing.
Yeah, you play the person.
You're saying, okay, I know what Jeff is going to find funny, so I'm going to put these together.
Yes.
And then if it's Wheat, you say, okay, I know what Wheat's going
to
find funny. I'm going
to put these
together.
But it still has to like be some semblance, at least on some level, of interacting with the original card. It has to. If it's blank eats blank, and that is a problem, and someone just puts like poop poop penis, it's like poop eats poop and it's penis. And they're just like, and you're like, I hate that. I really do.
So this is actually. Yeah.
Have this, you played? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is actually my problem with Cards Against Humanity. I enjoy it. I've played it, you know, a handful of times. But there comes a certain point where I'm like, okay, this is all just like the most offensive possible stuff that we can possibly pull out. And I'm just not digging it 100% after seeing it like five times.
So
honestly, it's the dry jokes that I find the funniest. The ones that are like the least offensive. Like someone once played, it was like nachos just aren't the same without blank. And it was, or blank is not the same without blank. And it was like nachos are just not the same without hot cheese. And I was like, yep.
Yeah, no, that would have won. That should win.
It's funny because it's true.
That's funny. That should win.
You guys, playing Cards Against Humanity on hard mode is playing with your motherfucking mom, which I did one time exactly.
That sounds pretty not fun.
Never.
She's gonna ruin you.
So wait, let me understand that sentiment there. So is your mom having sex with like other people's moms or like herself? I've never heard that phrase used before.
What phrase?
It's distressing. You're playing a game with your motherfucking mom. So who's there's a lot of complicated stuff going on.
Oh, no.
Understand.
I forgot they don't have expletives up in Canada yet. Adam, this is a term just emboldened.
Oh, just for emphasis. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
So if you get a chance, Jeff especially, you would really like Super Fight.
I've heard of that.
I've told you about it, but it's just Jeff, you'd like it and I like it because it's a game of arguments. Where
are you just trying to convince people?
Why your fighter will be another fighter?
Oh, we played that. That game's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
You pair a fighter with like a weapon, and then you have to like argue which one would win.
Right, and then the judge can like throw down.
Yeah.
like different shit that can happen in the fight.
Yeah, it's like a cat with a chainsaw versus like an army of tiny maids.
Yeah,
and then you have to argue. Okay, yeah,
right. I can't remember. We had a really fun, I mean, all, like all these games, there's awesome combos. It's really fun. It's a great part. Good.
There you go. Adam, what about you? Anything happened since Monday?
Played some Fallout. We already talked about that. I got to play some Overwatch yesterday, try out the new characters. The new level's pretty cool. The Hollywood level, I like
it.
Yeah,
I still haven't played it yet.
I played
Let
a bunch
just
of...
start up my Battle.net.
I played a bunch of D.Va, who I really like. Like, I'm really enjoying the like support and defense characters in that game a lot. Like, I mostly play either healers or the like shield dudes, and I like D.Va quite a bit. The ice, I don't know if you've played it, like May does this like ice wall that totally fucks with the Temple of Anubis, like totally fucks it up.
Yeah, you can just block that entire door.
Already shit. Well,
I've seen it used defensively, like where she'll, like if you're on the team, you just put up the wall in the main entrance and then no one can get in. But I've also seen it used really well offensively when she runs in and throws the wall up so that people respawning can't come in and they cap the point. It's interesting.
Ooh, that's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I played it yesterday and somebody playing kept doing that. And it was, yeah, it was heavy. It was really cool. And then you had to switch to characters that could, like, jump the wall or had, like, alternate ways of getting around so you could stop that cap. It's pretty cool.
Imagine several ones and they just block off all the...
Yeah.
Right?
Eternally. You just block it off eternally.
Well, yeah, and with cooldown and, like, how long that wall lasts, yeah, with a couple of mazes, you could very easily just be like, nope, and then you have to run under or, like, have a teleporter to get in.
It lasts 5 seconds and your cooldown's 10, so with two people, you can
it can
be shot down, but it's...
Yeah. Yeah, I foresee it getting a nerf, but it is really cool seeing how the new characters interact with the existing map structures. I thought that was cool because it made Anubis like fun and different rather than just like have fun losing.
Nah, that fucking map is garbage.
It's still bad. Like, I still agree. I agree that it's still not a good map, but it was interesting that it was fun to play. It came up and I was like, god damn it! And then
and fuck Angie.
I did play Soma finally after the last like mission for Swan Song, and I finally understand why everyone thought that I was ripping that game off. Because while I was playing it, I was like, wow, this is like eerily similar to what we're doing in Swan Song, and I had never played it before, and now I get why.
But I read a Kotaku article, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was on the plane or something, that I knew it was going to spoil all of Soma for me. I had all of Soma spoiled for me, and I'm like, I probably should have played that game. That sounds pretty cool.
It was cool.
So heed my warning, do not read spoiler Somers, or Jesus Christ, Soma spoilers. Cough medicine is a hell of a thing. Just go play yourself, guys. That's all I'm going to say, because it seems pretty cool.
It's only like 9 or 10 hours, so.
Yeah.
Adam, you also played Sibel, right?
I gotta play it.
Yes. Yeah, I played Sibel, which is another really cool game that came out recently. Yeah, I know you played it too, right?
It was a challenge. It was a challenging and personally affecting game.
If you were ever like a teenager who played MMOs and made friends with or like got at all close to the people you played MMOs with, this game will have some.
But how do you spell that? Because Sibel is the credit information bureau limited.
Yeah, it's
in India. So I don't think that's
C-I-B-E-L-E.
Yeah.
C-I-B-E-L-E.
Okay. Yep.
Gotcha. Done. Found it.
Yeah.
It's a game about, I mean, it's about a woman falling in love for the first time online. And it's
game about that?
Yeah. And it's a very non-standard experience. So like people are going to have to like take their minds and put it into a different headspace in order to like get through it and enjoy it. But it's incredibly personal. It feels very intimate and almost voyeuristic, even though we have explicit consent to be looking through what we're looking through in it. And it's really powerful.
Did you guys stream this?
Yeah.
No one gave you shit.
No.
No.
Interesting. I mean, what would they give us shit for?
Are the girls and the pictures and everything I see there, that's all...
That's
right,
all
we're
safe
about
for
the
work.
Same game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. There's no nudity.
It's less TOS violating than like The Witcher was.
And that's fine. Like, I'm just saying on first glance, but I'm just surprised that someone didn't come in and be like, "That is totally your character." This is.
I mean, as long as you masturbate.
I bet I see an email on this.
I did see what was someone? Oh, there was someone that was just eating on stream
cool
today.
As hell.
We were talking about this before. Yep.
Yeah.
Gunrun tweeted about this.
Yeah. And then like everyone's just like, you can just stream yourself eating. And he's like, no, they're cooking. Yeah, but they're just eating, man. I love these daily daily struggles that Twitch staff have. Just like, no, this actually works in the creative. Go read the fucking guidelines.
who cares about that when today the fucking national Swedish Jenga championship was on Twitch?
I heard about that. And, I didn't see it. Yeah. How many people were watching that? I'm curious.
Only like 1,000, but it was pretty amazing.
That's still pretty good.
Apparently, Fantasy Flight broadcast some Netrunner championships this past weekend. I did find the VODs.
I didn't know that.
That shit is good. I need to play more Netrunner.
I'm gonna go look at the World Jenga Championships.
One of you four guys needs to get into Netrunner so we can talk about Netrunner in the pre-show because I'm the only one. Damn it.
I played it briefly and then couldn't keep up with the, like, you got to keep buying stuff. Now you got to buy two. The fucking Fantasy Flight thing, and they did this with X-Wing, where they're like, if you really want to play the game, you got to buy two of the starter set. Because all the good decks have, like...
That sucks. That's stupid.
I played Magic. I've had enough of the, like, spending a shit ton on cards thing. I'm past that. Now so I buy X-Wing miniatures.
The thing about Netrunner is that there's no randomization of the cards you get. So once you have, like, yeah, you might need two starter
sets. But you're still doing that thing where you're buying a $14 card pack for one fucking card, right? Fantasy Flight does it with X-Wing, too, where, like, the best upgrades are with the worst ships. I don't need a fucking E-Wing. Nobody needs an E-Wing, but they have all the good upgrades.
I have not found that to be the case in my experience.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Generally, when I buy a pack, I totally, I'll buy a pack for one card,
sure.
And then I'll find like 20 other cards that I want to use.
The problem is often just that the meta demands certain cards, and then Fantasy Flight, like, you know that they're designing cards, and they're like, this is a good card, these are bad cards, we're only going to put one of these in the set, and you're going to want to run three of them, so...
No, that's the thing. Every booster pack that you get contains three of each card, and it contains all of those cards. There's no randomization, you get as many as you need, you can only put three in it. The core set has that problem, everything after the core set has that doesn't have that problem at all. Yeah. So, yes, there are problems, but I prefer, like, they call it a living card game instead of a collectible card game, because you're not, like, you're not trying to get the cards that you want. You just buy the cards that you want. You're done.
The Netrunner universe is cool. The art is really cool. Apparently, Fantasy Flight is talking about doing an Android universe, like, role-playing game. So that...
Yes!
Sorry, Steven. Do you need a minute alone with that idea?
Steven, hang on. Strokes.
Welp. How about that?
That's all we needed. That's the gift for today. That's it, Steven.
Yeah. How about that Jenga?
That is a reaction gif and a half that might go viral. Yes!
And then the camera flip up.
I don't know why I do this to myself.
That'll be gift by the end of the show.
It's awesome. 100%. It's already. Are you kidding me? With our guys, it's already being redone in artwork.
Yeah, someone will actually just odd shot that and then just make a GIF from it, like in the next 10 seconds for sure.
Yes.
When did we? It hasn't been too long. It's been like 3 weeks, I think. Not that bad.
Yeah, I think about that.
We've been somewhat on track. Like we just got to the. Just got to that planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you, I wanted to talk a little bit. Out of character about kind of what you guys want to do now, because traditionally in the course of the Swan Song, this would be the part where I'm like, cool, you're doing your next mission. There's another mission. But I've noticed that like the goals that you guys have either gone kind of unresolved the last little while or have been related to the mission anyway, which you're getting experience for regardless. So I wanted to give you guys a chance to make some goals and like pursue those on your own. Like if there's a particular thing you want to do, I know like Eric has some stuff left over from the last time you were, in the Geoxy system. And I want to talk about goals cause I kind of want to like clear the board and make sure everybody has at least one, but hopefully like three like full goals that you can pursue, and talk about kind of where we want to go. Now, before I dump another mission on you. So, like, Steven, you do you still want to go back at some point to Vinaya and check out what happened with Dr. Singh's.
Like, are we just having search? Is it like another annual ship meeting?
I mean, yeah, maybe.
Like in the fiction, how are we discussing the options of what we could pursue? Or do we just want to talk about it outside of the fiction?
Well, but let's talk about it from a just a player perspective first, so we can all kind of because otherwise it'll just be you guys arguing in character about what direction to go or what to
do. That's the best part of the West Marches, man.
Yeah.
So Eric's got some stuff. We had that Dr. Ranjit Singh install Piani's eye.
Yeah.
Post vision eye, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's got some sci-tech research that's been stolen unfairly by the Vinaya Planetary Authority. So I would love to go back and try to liberate that for Ranjit Singh, and then he would give us access to what he knows, which is good for me. And I'm also trying to build a couple test grenades with the crystal shards that we have to try and build some telekinetically resonant weapons.
That was something I wanted to ask JP about, because Higgs is the man with the plan cash wise, and you have an entire ship full of saleable product, right? Your cargo hold is full of ice right now that you can find a planet to sell that on. And then, you have this crate of illegally obtained Hovaiden psionic focusing crystals, which this planet is literally the worst place to sell such a thing, because this is where they come from.
This is the origin planet, yeah.
Yeah. It's also probably a bad idea to hang out here for very long, because they're in the thing. So, is that something that you wanna pursue, JP, or does Higgs have other plans as well, or where's Higgs at?
I mean, I would think he wants to sell those, but I don't know if that's just necessarily a goal. I think he just wants to get rid of them. But he also, I guess he would be okay with. I actually forgot Eric's name for a second. With Eric. making grenades or using
If we keep a small amount just enough for me to do some continuing research on, this stuff is really potent in small amounts, as Eric discovered recently when he ignored all of the warnings.
You almost killed yourself.
Yeah. I don't think I'll need much in order to make these four grenades and then, a reasonable amount to continue studies with or, trade to Ranjit Singh when we go back to him.
Yeah, I would
how much is the total crate worth, Adam? 100,000?
I'm looking for that. It depends, right? There's a street value, and then it'll vary depending on where you sell it and to who you sell it, right?
Right. Well, if we imagine we have 100,000 credits worth of stuff or whatever, if we sell 85,000 and keep 15,000 of them, then that'll be way more than I'd need for a while.
That would have to be something that has to be sold on the black market, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You'd have to find either a planet where you could sell that stuff and nobody's going to ask questions, or you'd have to go somewhere and find a contact there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can make that a goal. We could definitely play that out. Just I'll make the other goals known that I'm deleting. One of them was to recruit Sakaarian into the Luminous 22, but that didn't happen because Sakaarian died, kind of. Not really. Kind of.
He's still around.
He did not die.
He's pretty much. He's dead.
Kind,
to
he's
us.
Kind of dead to us. If you know what I'm saying.
Wow.
Wow.
As you say that, his spaceship's coming right now.
That's my overarching.
We talked about that in the emails between then and now. It's like, I think I remember Jeff writing something like that. Sakaarian flies to the swan song. Punches Higgs in the face.
Yeah, the entire Photonar fleet just hunts down the swan song and blows it up.
Yep.
It's weird.
Spoiler, it's week 40, though.
Dark turn. Okay. So you want to move that cargo. And then Piani, you and I were talking a little bit about the eye. So, what did you decide? Kind of where you want to start your quest to figure it out, or?
So my questions were kind of, we did a recap of powers, and then I'm very curious about sort of trying to find out more about this eye. I'm not convinced I've figured everything out and that I want to fully control it. So that's kind of the direction that I would like to go. Okay. As far as leads, we talked about the guy who actually gave me the eye, someone on Hoveda, or perhaps the person who installed the eye.
Can I make one of my goals to provide material assistance to Piani in uncovering more information about the eye?
Yeah, I mean, you can both have the same goal, right? Like, because, yeah, the question is, like, we were talking about this before, like, it's not like you found, like, a magical artifact that doesn't make any sense to anybody. Like, it's a piece of technology, albeit, like, expensive and powerful from a long time ago.
Right. So it's finding the person who just understands it.
It's finding someone who can. And it's like the aura reading thing, the ability to like perceive psychic overlays like that. Right. That is a function of the eye. Like it's supposed to do that. And you know how that works. It's the weird other stuff, the side effects that keep happening and whether there's some kind of like psionic field leak or like this is another feature you don't understand. Like that's the stuff.
So I have as a goal discover the secret of the eye.
Yes,
I've had that for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I should just keep that.
Yeah, you can, but that implies that there's like one big secret that you can uncover. One strategy that Eric has been taking with stuff is taking larger goals and breaking them down into sub goals to be like. The larger goal is make some grenades. The smaller goal is, like, find housing for the grenades, find, like, things he can accomplish in one or two sessions. And they get less experience, but they get resolved more quickly.
Yep.
Yeah,
It's basically the Nega Sicarian approach to goal planning.
I mean, yeah, right. When I wrote Discover the Secret of the Eye, I guess you could just say that in another way, like find out what the fuck this thing is, right? Like, isn't
sure.
Should I just change it to? I mean, the thing is, I've invested in this goal for like
sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm not if you
seven or eight shows.
And if you give up the goal altogether, then yeah, like fine. You can pick it up later, and I'll remember that you had been working on it. Like I keep track of like how many sessions you've had a goal.
No, okay. Then I'm just gonna rename Discover the Secret of the Eye to. Learn more about my new eye.
Yeah, I mean you can have two goals. You can keep like learn the secret of the eye, but you can have a second goal that's like find a sci-tech expert to examine the eye.
So literally a sub goal.
Yeah, you can have two or three goals. Like they could all be related to the same thing if you want. If that's the only thing you care about. Yeah.
Then you know what I'll do? Discover the secrets. Of mm-hmm. the eye, and then I've changed my second goal to learn more, or I will specifically like learn more from an expert about my new eye.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that sounds good.
So my last goal was actually put in place for what we were doing last, which is protect Pi from the Order.
Mm-hmm.
So did I actually complete that?
I mean, the trick with a goal like that is you're constantly working towards it, but unless you make it impossible for the Order to harm Pi, you can't really resolve that goal.
So right? I have to basically... Right.
Yeah, so like that goal could be... like, yeah, you'd get lots and lots of experience if you dissolve the Order of Annunciation, but that's going to be very difficult for you to do.
Okay, well, I'll shut up now. If someone else could talk, I'll think about my last.
Sure. Goal. I mean, think about like for if you want a goal for Pi, think about maybe like the file that the Warmind gave Pi. Think about Pi's like new, slightly more murderous than usual behavior. Those are some things that you could take.
Yeah,
a look
I'm just trying to kind of figure out.
Sure.
What
okay, I'm gonna set one of my goals to be. Discover the resurrective capabilities of the eye.
You're just gonna like, okay, you're gonna set
a
goal.
I'm just gonna make magic random goals. Adam's gonna be like, God damn it, Steven.
Figure out why I'm so fucking cool.
How can we bring Viktor Kovacs back to life?
That's gonna be one of my goals. Resurrect Viktor Kovacs.
I mean, if you're gonna resurrect anybody, Viktor is not a person. He just immediately get in a situation where he gets killed again.
Pretty much. That was what he was good at. Yeah, no, I'm gonna set one of my goals to be help Peony learn more about her new eye.
Okay.
Okay.
And then Alpharius, you've had some troubling times of late, coming face to face with the killer of your homeworld. Do you want to put together a goal related to that, or are you still just like single mindedly pursuing your original, again, Sicarian style goal?
Yeah, I think I'll leave one Sicarian style, and then I think the other two need to be tightened up because they're just kind of pretty nebulous.
Okay, sure. And these can be, because it's good to have the one overarching goal because it'll always kind of drive your character. But having goals that you can look at sort
actually
of
accomplish.
Yeah. Those are useful for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I have a pretty good grasp of Alpharius as a character and where he's at and stuff like that. But like, he's in an interesting spot because he's not a leader. He doesn't really have his own agenda. He's really hired for security, and that's pretty much who he is. So I don't know what kind of goal to make from that. Like, do your job.
I mean, it can be about making your job easier for yourself. Like, identify security risks in the Swan Song, or complete security profiles for each member of the crew. Think about ways that Alpharius would approach being better at his job. And that might be an option. Right. You can also do like something related to the first goal, your big goal, but it could be like like finding other survivors of Andoni, or like making contacts in the like world of cybernetics, so that later if something malfunctions that you can like have someone help you.
How about one of them is understanding EMP better or something along those lines? Like, in the short term, it seems like he found a weakness was found with him, and that's that if you EMP him, it kind of shuts him down. So
Okay, so find a way to mitigate the effects of EMP on my cybernetics, something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. To protect yourself from EMP. Okay, that's cool. All right. Okay.
And are you prepared for that to be a possibility, or is this a...
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's totally a thing, like shielded cybernetics or something. Yeah.
I would say also, I like your idea of identify security risks or something like that.
Okay. All right. Cool. And then one more thing, Higgs and JP, if you want to send these to me like in secret, that's totally a thing.
Here, I'll message you right now.
I was gonna say, I removed a lot of them. So just send me the three that you're currently working on, because I know that
that's
Higgs
obviously
just...
that one leads into the third one, and then okay. The other one was selling the ship goods through the via the back black market.
Cool. Okay, yeah, I like those are good. Okay. Cool. All right. And then, Steven, can you just send me the ones that you have? I got to make sure I have yours. I have your new one.
Yeah, I'll send them to you.
Okay. Perfect.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. So, you're on the planet Kamna, which, if we remember, is sort of a I envision it as being like Vietnam or Thailand, in the way that it's like quite hot, quite humid, and mostly overgrown. It's like a jungle moon. It's mostly overgrown with jungle stuff. There's a bunch of ruins there from a much earlier colony. And a very low population of actual people that live on the planet, but it's considered like a sacred place by the original inhabitants who have since left for the most part, though some are staying behind to kind of guard it. It's just like a temple planet. But it's also now part of Hovaden space. It's a part of the caliphate, and that's because the caliph has said, hey, that planet is full of psychically reactive crystals. Let's go and mine them. So
nice
they're starting.
You have there.
Yeah, they're starting
nice
to.
Planet we have here.
They're starting to clear the planet, and mine the crystals. And there have been some protests from the locals. Yeah, you were in basically like the one. It's a combination like starport slash embassy or whatever, where the caliphate is starting to spread. You landed here just because it was the closest planet you could refuel at. Had a brief interaction with some of the caliphate's secret police. They were very helpful. And then you reported into Richardson, you got paid, but they also said that there was there's a Richardson scientific liaison on the planet, Dr. Carson Lake, who said, hey, I'd like to talk to you if you have some time, but it wasn't like a mission you weren't mandated to. It was just like, oh, you're on this planet. Well, we have a guy there who would love to debrief with you.
We make up some story about how we were serving the Richardson group and they were like, oh, yeah, you're working for Lake, right? And we were like, yes. And they were like, he doesn't know who you are or something like that.
Yeah. I think it was like, yeah, we're working for Richardson Scientific. I think the idea was that Alfarious was a like Richardson operative or whatever.
And we were delivering him.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, you must be here with you're part of Dr. Lake's group. And you're like, no. We don't know that guy. Yep. But nobody's like chasing you down or anything. So I don't know, maybe you're in a cafe or something, on that planet, kind of deciding where to go next.
Mr. Higgins!
I just look over at you, like, with the glass basically at my lips.
They have hot cocoa.
Excellent.
Yeah, I just take a long sip of mine.
It's very hot.
Well, yes, it usually is, Eric. Fucking idiot.
Damn.
I'm just sitting there sipping. I'm not really saying much to anyone.
Okay. Is Pi's on the ship right now?
Well, I hope so.
Okay. I just mean you didn't bring them along.
All right.
I'm just confirming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pi's not here, right, Wheat?
What?
Yeah. Pi's staying on the ship.
Right on. Sorry. Yeah.
And Piani and Alfarious are here as well.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody's there.
Uh-oh, a phone rings.
Someone's phone rings.
Don't answer it. This is the movie where if you answer it, it kills you.
For some reason, Alfarious' phone uses a 1,000-year-old ringtone.
It's very in tune with the past.
A touching classical piece of music.
Yeah.
It's public domain now, so.
Yeah, the ancient call to attention.
Yeah.
We don't have any, as far as Higgins is aware, we don't have any places to be, right? We're kind of just hanging out.
Yeah. Nobody. It's maybe the first, and maybe this is why we get to see this this moment. Is it's the first time where you're not all like running off somewhere to do something. Yeah,
we're not all dying.
You're just like in a cafe. It's like an open air cafe. It's kind of like a Middle Eastern, like Turkish style, like cafe. There's a bunch of people around. Maybe there's some people in the back corner, some like citizens that are like watching a holo display of some like sporting event. It's open air, so you can see out onto the street, and there's various like vehicles moving around. And it's just like a quiet moment where you're not all like rushing off anywhere.
Is there any other groups in the bar besides us?
There's the dude that owns the cafe, and maybe his, like employees or family. There's the younger, like, they're probably like loggers or whatever. They're off shift, crowded around the space soccer game or whatever being displayed on the holo panel, but they haven't really paid any attention to you. Occasionally you hear them like shout excitedly about something that's happened in the game, but for the most part you're kind of like alone or unnoticed.
Gotcha. I put my glass down and kind of look around, and maybe you guys join me at the bar. I've been drinking for a while. So I just, I'm like...
So a point to notice, though, Higgs, they don't actually serve alcohol anywhere on this planet. It's
I'm in a really bad mood.
Yeah, it's part of an Islamic caliphate, and drinking is not okay. You're allowed to drink your own alcohol, but they would not sell it anywhere on the planet.
Oh, well, your okay. Juice, Higgs.
Yeah, juice it'd be like coffee or... yeah.
Well, if I'm allowed to drink my own alcohol, I brought it all from the ship, so I have alcohol.
Okay.
I just have a bottle that's...
Spike in your juice.
Yeah, I've got a bottle with space tape over it that says Higgins Juice or something like that. I just look at Piotti when she asks him, it's like, it's pretty good. I don't know why these people don't drink, but I'm not going to, they're missing out. They're missing out. How's your juice? I look down. Do you actually have juice in front of you?
Yeah.
What type of juice is it?
It's some exotic fruit that we would know what it is, but okay. It's bitter.
Gotcha.
It's a space mango.
Yeah, space exactly.
A space mango.
Some kind of delicious local fruit juice probably. Yeah.
It's better than the soy shit.
Well, anything's better than the soy shit. Look, we need a job, lady and gentlemen. We don't have much to do, and this planet bores me. So if you guys got anything that we could do, feel free to throw it out.
I remember back when we were on Venaya in the Galaxy system, we were talking to that doctor who installed the eye for Ms. Piani, and he had some research that the government had confiscated. We could always go liberate it. He might have more he could tell us about the eye if we got his research back as well.
It's a good idea. Eric's right for once.
Well, hold on. Why? This seems...
Let's not jump to conclusions.
What's going on here? What really... All right. That sounds great, Eric. Piani, you've never been one to jump on any plan quite so quick.
All right, Higgs.
What's really going on?
Let me tell you a story.
Okay, I'm not interested.
Just imagine... You're sitting on the bridge, you're knocking back your drink, and suddenly Piani Pick knocks at the door. It opens up, you're still drinking. She approaches, and suddenly her fucking eye explodes because she doesn't even know it. She's got in her fucking head. So let's go to the doctor.
That was a good story, Piani.
And let's learn something and maybe get a job.
Well, can't you just go to any doctor? Why do we gotta go? We gotta go to that specific doctor, is that what you're saying?
And we have to steal research from the government.
Well, we'll get to that. We gotta sell these goods too. What planet is that? Is that in the Vafai system?
Venaya system. 706.
Venaya is the planet. Galaxy is the system.
Galaxy system. Yeah,
it's where Rajani Van Dorn lives now.
Are we on 107?
Y'all are galactic left.
007?
We'll take three jumps.
You're 107 now. You started in 007.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So we want to go to 706. Okay.
That's a decent trip. Wasn't Venaya kind of a more wretched hive of scum and villainy you'd never find?
Hum and skive, yes. Yeah, it's Venaya, because it's the the Midari Syndicate pretty much run that system. So they appreciate the value of free trade.
Alfarius, do you have any issues with us going over there?
No, this is fine.
Well, I'm sure Rajani would be happy to see you again, Captain.
I mean, I'm sure she would. You bring up a good point. if we don't have any plans here, I guess we can leave the next couple of days, if that's all right with you. It's going to take a while to get there. So I guess we better stock up the ship. How are we doing on... I don't know, the ship stuff. I don't know what... I just drive the thing, Eric.
Let's look at it. So right now I have us as at 10 out of 20 hit points.
Yeah, I think you were getting that repaired on this planet. Yeah,
I think so too. And then that's about it, really.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, as long as we get it repaired.
Yeah, we have cargo of ice, one bulletproof car wrecked, and 100,000 crystals, 100,000 credits worth of crystals.
All right, yeah, I think we'll take off in 2 or 3 days from now, or 2 days from now, or something like that.
Yeah, however long it takes to repair the damage, which I think we looked up, but I now have forgotten. It's like 10 hit points in a single period, but it shouldn't take you too long. The date right now, let me just check my calendar. It's February something, I think. It's like mid to late February. It'd be like the 20th of February. Each jump takes whatever, like 2 days a sector or 2 days a hex. So just to give you an idea of how long you'll be in travel.
Okay.
Okay, so can I leave you to figure out the cost for repairing the ship? You can just get it repaired here.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now.
Okay, well, why don't we figure all that stuff out? We'll take a break and then figure all that stuff out. And when we get back, we'll do all the rolls for how long it takes for you to get there.
Cool. That works for me. Okay. We'll take this quick break. Still got 2 hours left to go. So we're only going 3 hours tonight, but we're back with more roleplay right after this. So don't go anywhere. We'll see you guys in just a bit.